All right, thank you guys for tuning in to another fantastic show of the Voice of the Fans podcast. This is your man Cam. I'm joined by Young Fan. How you doing, Young? How you doing, Cleavon?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Ready to get this show started and ring in the new year.
Well, that's right. It's the final show of the year, final show of the decade. You heard my man Cleavon. We make up Voice of the Fans. One thing you guys for tuning in once again. In this episode, we're going to talk about the NFL playoffs, give you a preview of this week to come, what's happening in the week. We're also going to look back at the top stories of the NFL of the decade. Additionally, we're going to talk about the top stories of the NBA. We're going to look back on this day in Black history. Leave on. Get comfortable. Let's do this.
Sit down.
I want to also thank our listeners from Rise Radio being pumped out of Vegas. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. We do this every week, Voice of the Fans, hear it on any podcast platform that you want. Cleavon, it is December 31, week 69. Every week we talk about the numbers. Number 31, who wore the number best or who comes to your mind first when you think of number 31?
You know, ironically, the first person that comes to my mind is one of the early superstars in my teenage years, Derek McKee, for the Seattle Supersonics. I don't think he necessarily wore it the best, but he is the first person that comes to mind, Cam.
Well, that's actually a pretty astute memory you have there. McKee was one of the guys who you can't quite call him, can't get right. But he just never had that assertiveness, I think, that would make him an all-star type caliber player. But McKee was very slick, very smooth, and, again, just didn't have that assertiveness, if I remember correctly. Man, I thought for sure you were going to come with one of the Legion of Boom members. I thought for sure he'd be the first name out your mouth.
Well, to be honest, I do have, of all these players that you're naming, the 31 Cam Chancellor is the only one I have a jersey of. That's the only one hanging in my closet at present. So, you know, you would think that wasn't a bad thought on your part. But just as you were saying it, I was just thinking that the young 16 guy, like you said, never really quite panned out, but was always, you know, showing flashes of brilliance. But, yeah, Cam was definitely on the brain as well.
Okay, well, now what about the hometown cat that went to Franklin High School, Mr. Jason Terry? One of the few guys in the championship in high school, college, and in the NBA. You got to give Jason Terry a lot of love, right?
Oh, man, the Jet had a fantastic career. You know, been able to parlay that into coaching, and can only wish that, you know, the best for him. And most definitely, he wore the 31 with a lot of class, grace, and skill.
This list number 31 actually continued to go on, but we'll give a shout out to Reggie Miller, one of the sharpshooters, and then one of the all-time athletes of his day, of his era, Mr. Dave Winfield, played center field for the Haiti Yankees. Now, let me guess, Cleavon, are you a Yankee fan?
You know, Kim, I'm not really a Yankee fan.
Oh, wow.
I respect the concept of the Yankees, but I'm not really a Yankee fan, per se.
I think the fans kind of expected something else out of you. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I think the way you kind of built me up as kind of that, bandwagon front runner. So, yeah, I figured that's kind of where you were going with that.
I mean, I didn't build it out. I just pointed it out. That's all I did. Also, it is week 69 of the Voice of the Fans podcast for this season. 69, who comes to your mind first?
Got to be Jared Allen, you know, sack master up there in Minnesota for all those years. It's really the only 69 that kind of comes to mind, my friend.
The only 69 that comes to your mind. So you didn't watch the 1989 Super Bowl when Tim Cumrie's ankle was flapping around like a piece of bread out there.
You know, until you kind of brought that back up, I had completely put that out of my mind just because it was such a gruesome injury. Now you have it back in my head. It'll take me another 5 years to get it out. But, yeah, I had not thought of him as being a great number 69, no.
I mean, he had his team in the Super Bowl, and they were doing good things, the Cincinnati Bengals were. But, yeah, that's the most vivid memory I have, unfortunately, of Tim Crumry, is his ankle flapping around out there on the Super Bowl turf. Sir, this is a weekly recap. And as you know, I cover the Chargers. I've been covering them all season long, fortunately enough. And through covering the Chargers, get a chance to interact with other beat writers and what have you, other national reporters as well, and then some other players who come through the town as well. But the rumor has been circulating, and I guess I first heard this around week six and was just kind of blown away. But when you stop and think about it, I guess it kind of makes sense, but it appears that you can find an article I just wrote on this in What's Good in Sports. It appears that Phillip Rivers is done as the Los Angeles Chargers. Does that shock you as it does me, Mr. Clemont?
It is shocking and disappointing. Considering all that Phillip Rivers has given to that organization, you would think that he deserved a little bit better. But I think just the way things have transpired the last year, it just wasn't going to be a good fit going forward.
Well, if they think Phillip Rivers is kind of long in the tooth and his best days are behind him, it's going to shock you who may be the replacement of Phillip Rivers. They're looking at a guy, maybe you've heard of him, went to University of Michigan, plays football in the Northeast, and has a few rings behind his name, and that'd be Tom Brady. What's your initial thoughts when you hear of that type of replacement for Phillip Rivers?
I'm sure it's quite hurtful to Mr. Rivers, but I think of it nothing more than a vicious rumor. I mean, this is how do rumors get started, Cam, and especially down there in L.A. when you need a story and you need something to kind of bring that team into the new millennium with a little bit of a spark. Why not just throw out the biggest name that you can think of? But it just doesn't practically make sense. And so I'm not going to put a whole lot of effort into kind of going through different crazy scenarios, but I don't think they're going to happen. So that's kind of where I am with that one.
Well, I'm not going to bore you with the nuances of the story, but just know that I've heard the story for weeks now from multiple different people, and we'll leave it at that. It'll be interesting to your point that they're going to not sign Phillip Rivers, but bring in a quarterback 5 years older and expect to get better and more production from him. That's very interesting. But nonetheless, we move on. There was a big game on Sunday night. Sunday night football, the NFL season ended with a bang up in Seattle at CenturyLink Field. And unfortunately, the tight end just could not – he rolled the wrong way. Could not get over the goal line, and the Seahawks end up falling to the San Francisco 49ers once again. These guys play to a slug. These guys play a slugfest, and Seattle gets the short end of the stick this time. Talk about that game, and talk about that how that impacts the Seattle Seahawks flying across country. And here's your dreaded scenario: West Coast team flies east, plays the early game. Does that put Seattle behind the eight ball?
Well, fortunately, Cam, they had an opportunity to play the Eagles and beat the Eagles earlier in the season. So lots of film on what they did good and what they didn't do so good to kind of tighten things up there. Again, we did get the jolt of emotion from Beast Mode that we were expecting. He was able to score a touchdown, get the crowd invigorated, get the team focused and really hyped up and ready to play. He was a great mentor to Travis Homer, who had a much better game than his game against Arizona, where he was kind of thrust into his service. He looked much better. Didn't look like he belonged this time. Didn't look like he belonged last week. So that was an improvement. The great DK Metcalf, what can we say about him? Just running slants all over the field, again with a touchdown. I think got 65 catches. He's got a touchdown. It's incredible the influence that he's had on Russell Wilson and this passing offense. But really, Cam, what it came down to was two bad calls. One, The Seahawks did not get the pass interference call. It was blatantly a pass interference. It's exactly why the rule was implemented, but they didn't want to go there with it. Secondly, he actually did cross the plane. The plane goes from the first blade of grass straight up to infinity, and he crossed that plane. It's just that simple. So, you know, last time the Niners missed a field goal, we made our field goal, we beat them at their place. This time, we got cheated around. We didn't get the call that we should have gotten, that we deserved. And, you know, kudos to the 49ers for winning that game. They moved four spots. They went from having to go on the road and be the number one wild card team to being the number one team in the NFC. So, you know, definitely kudos to them. I'm proud of them to see how I play.
I'm not going to let you distort the victory for the San Francisco 49ers with this asinine comment you said. The pass interference, there was a pass interference, but why don't you guys get up to the line of scrimmage? And how does Russell Wilson, a veteran quarterback, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, allow them to have a penalty that pushes them back 5 yards, a delay of the game penalty right there on the goal line, on the 2-yard line? Why do they have this? Why allow that? How do they do that? I mean, that's a mistake that Fitzmagic makes in Miami. That's a mistake that you might expect it from Lamar Jackson. That's a very rookie young quarterback mistake to allow the delay game penalty in that situation. Cleveland, the tight end did not get over the line. He landed with his back, with his shoulder on the 1-yard line and a 1/2-yard line. The ball was probably on the 2-centimeter line. It did not.
The ball was touching the infinity line and goes straight up to infinity. The first blade of grass. It was touching that. It did break that time.
It was not.
But that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to cry over spilled milk. You know,
that's what it sure sounds like. And then let me.
Well, I'm not. What I'm saying is I'm proud of the way the Seahawks played, I don't feel any differently about them than before the game.
And your description of number 14. Come on, what did you call him?
What did I call him, Cam?
That was not true. He made a couple good catches. I'll give you that. I actually text you. Hey, he made a couple good catches. If he was that great, they would have went to him inside the green zone, inside the red.
Okay, you're not the offensive coordinator. You don't need to dictate when they go to him and don't go to him. That's not what I said.
No. Well, I'm saying if he was that great as you called him, they would have went to him in that situation. He would have came down with a touchdown to win the game. They did not do that. They did not go to him. So, come on, let's correct yourselves. However, he did make some good plays. Seattle has a good chance to go across the country, as you stated. They've seen Philly. They kind of know what to do. Philly's kind of beat up, and Seattle should come back away with that win. Baltimore Ravens. So we just talked about San Francisco winning the NFC. Baltimore Ravens win the AFC. My question to you is, which one of these teams go to the Super Bowl?
The Baltimore Ravens go to the Super Bowl.
Baltimore Ravens go to the Super Bowl. Interesting. I don't have any one of these Super Bowl or any one of these teams in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to hang on the teams that I picked early in the season. Do you recall who you picked to go to the Super Bowl? I know who I picked. I picked the New Orleans Saints, and I picked the New England Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm not changing my pick.
Well, that's bold of you. I had the Saints and the Chiefs, and no, I'm not changing my picks either, honey.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. So
It would not surprise me if the Ravens get there, but you know, I'm willing to ride with Mahomes and see what they can do.
It's going to be a knockdown slug out, and my team, the AFC team I picked anyway. I'm not going to call them my team. Let me correct that. But the team I picked to go to the Super Bowl, they're going to have a tough road to go. I think the toughest in their journey thus far. But I'll stick with them until somebody beats them. What was most impressive to you this season? Was it Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing? Was it McCaffrey, your guy, the special teams player, as you called him a few seasons ago? Was it him getting 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving? What was the most impressive performance of the season in your eyes? Was it Thomas and his 140-plus catches? Or Drew Brees going And that was damn impressive the other night, going with 93% passing the other night. That was pretty impressive as well. What was the most impressive performance of the season for you?
Well, Cam, I just wanted to clarify this. I think we're well past referring to Christian McCaffrey as a special teams player. Okay, we've moved on. We've seen the brilliance. Okay, there's no need to keep rehashing, bringing up things just to try and, you know, be all inflammatory and try and get me to jump out of character. Okay, I'm not going to do that with you anymore. We've moved on from the special teams thing.
Okay.
That being said, Christian Jackson McCaffrey going for 1,000 and 1,000. It's got to be the most impressive thing. Find out loud. The Swiss Army knife. Can't do everything.
You need
40 touchdowns, he'll give you 20 touchdowns. You either throw a touchdown or throw you a touchdown. Whatever the situation calls for.
But he doesn't. Fans, you see how quickly he wants to move on from how he's so emphatic about he would be nothing more. I got to bring that tape up. But I'm going to stop. You're right. That was a couple seasons ago, and maybe I should let that rest. But now all of a sudden he's the best performance of the NFL. And I'm going to take it. You suggest he should be MVP.
I do think that Lamar Jackson has done enough sensational things against enough really potent teams that he should be the MVP. I don't think there's any question about that, no. I'm not delusional to that extent, Cam.
Oh, okay, but you are delusional when it comes to some stuff. I just want to make...
Yeah, I didn't say that. That was delusional to the extent of thinking that Christian Jackson McCaffrey had a better season than Lamar Jackson. That's all I said.
Okay, all right, good. Derrick Henry had a pretty good season, too. Ended up going over 200 yards to close the season out and snatch that league rushing title away. Who had a better win? Or was it a better win for the Titans or a worse loss for the Texans this past week?
Much better win for the Titans. They get into the playoffs with the win, and we're going to be able to do so without it, so you have to give it to them. The Texans really didn't have a whole lot of maneuverability there, so what are you going to do, man? Much better win for the Titans.
Okay, that was a good way to sum that up. And these damn Dolphins, man, these guys, I don't understand what direction they're going. I don't know. I don't understand what they're trying to do. They go out and they beat the Patriots. They start the season wanting to tank, and then they end up beating the Patriots on the final game of the season. What was that? Better Dolphins or worse Patriots? You tell me.
Oh my gosh, it's definitely worse for the Patriots. It starts the beginning of the end. The beginning starts, you know, a lot sooner than anticipated. It was going to start next week, a little chipping away at it, but it's just in full throttle, you know, right now. It's the very next game they're not going to win. It's not a couple of weeks and maybe, you know, we can hold somebody off at home and then get back to the championship. You know, they already knew they were cashing their golden ticket, but again, this might be the last year they cash a golden ticket. So, yeah, it was a much worse loss for the Patriots. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how golden that ticket is been. We had this discussion earlier in the season, but
been paying out for 12 years straight, so that's pretty golden.
Again, I don't know how golden.
Should I change it to the platinum ticket? Should I for dramatic effect? Or
listen to him. So the Patriots, I expect them to win this weekend. They're playing the Titans. Come on, they're playing Ryan Tannehill, for God's sakes. I expect them to get this first win in the wild card weekend here, although it's surprising that they're playing in the wild card weekend. And they have Vrabel to play against, somebody who knows the team very well. But, again, they're playing Ryan Tannehill. Give me a break.
Cam, you know what? You're bringing your personal 305 emotions into this. You're not looking at these two teams objectively, my friend. I would hate to throw another can of SpaghettiOs out there at you, man, in front of all our fans, bro. But you, in your heart, you know how this is going to go down, right?
Well, yeah, I know the Patriots and Bill Belichick is going to move on.
Okay, you don't feel that confident. I can hear it in your voice, my friend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's sum this season up. We'll move on. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about our top 10 stories of the NFL. We're also going to review our pick segment for the season, kind of how things going. Every week we make our picks for the game for the week. We pick our three games against the spread, and then we pick our confidence pick. So we're going to talk about how that comes, how that transpires, how finished for the season. Cleavon, let's take a break here. All right, Mr. Cleavon, looking back at it, man, our confidence picks. The week finished out, I had 9 points. I finally beat you. I had 9 points to your 8 points, 60% to your 53%. But for the year, 207 points for you out of a possible 205 points, that 81% accuracy there to my 171 points. So, Cleavon, you win that category convincingly. Good work out of you. Points against, picks against the spread, actually. 51% or 51 games that we picked against the spread for the season. And we actually tied your week. It was a bad week overall. You had 31 of the games that you picked correctly. 31% of the games that you picked correctly to my 56% of the games. They were both kind of crappy weeks. But you only got one game correct against the picks of the spread. I got all three correct against the pick of the spread. So that allowed me to tie you in the pick of the spread. And this ends in a tie. 28 games correct for the year. Out of 51, that's a 54% accuracy rating there. And it should be no surprise to you fans, out of 256 games for the season, my 159 trumps Cleavon's 151, and I put that category 62%. So, oddly enough, Cleavon wins the confidence pick. We tied in the picks against the spread, and then I win the total picks for the season. So we have a little dilemma there.
Cam, and like Yahoo has that stat corrector, I'm going to go back through the numbers on that tie and just make sure that everything is copacetic.
Please do, pal. You have all the charts for all season long. Please take a look at it. Cleveland, as we talked about, we have the NFL playoffs coming up. The Titans and the Patriots, that's going to be the game I'm looking at most. The Vikings and the Saints is going to be another game. And then your Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. Needless to say, that's going to be the ones you have your eyes glued upon, correct?
It is, but I am also going to be watching how the nation handles the start of the ending, coming to the end of the road, how it's going to play out and, what dominoes are going to fall because of it.
Well, New Orleans and the Saints, they're going to have more games to play, if that's what you're talking about. They're going to beat the Vikings, and they're going to move on, as I mentioned. That's the team I picked to move on to the Super Bowl. And the other team I picked to move on to the Super Bowl is the New England Patriots. They're going to play. The student plays the mentor, and we always know the mentor usually wins that game.
The Tennessee Titans are going to win that game, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. All right, man. Well, I see you picked the Tennessee Titans to win in your pick segment. However, you gave them the least confident number you can give them in your confidence pick. So how confident are you really, sir, about them winning?
I'm extremely confident. But again, like you said, Cam, there's four games being played. So, of the four, perhaps this one is going out on the limb a tad bit. The other one's a pretty slam dunk guarantees. This one, conventional wisdom says the Patriots should, hold serve at home. I just don't think they will.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out. Also, a game we disagree on is Buffalo and Houston. I actually have the Bills going to Houston to beat up on the Texans. I've never been, although I love Deshaun Watson. I love DeAndre Hopkins. Just not a fan of the team, not a fan of the coach. And so I have Josh Allen taking his troops down there to Houston and getting a W and taking them back to Buffalo. So, once again, we do have a team in the The Patriots lost their final game of the season to a team in the AFC East, and we have two teams in the AFC East prevailing in the playoffs. So that golden ticket that you want to, you know, give somebody is not so golden because the competition is stiff over there, as proven here in the playoffs. Cleveland, this decade in NFL, man, we've had a lot of stories, a lot of things that happened in a decade, actually. We can go way back to the safety rules when they start the concussion protocol, the targeting calls in college football, the helmet-to-helmet contact they have in football, to the catching rules, which still is still questionable today. We've still never been able to get that solidified with the instant replay, with all the camera angles that we have. It's still 10 years later. Guys still don't really know what a catch is and what a catch isn't. 2012, we have the Saints and Bounty Gate. Again, these are top stories that happened early in the decade. 2012, we actually had the replacement refs, where the Seahawks were able to take advantage of the replacement refs because they couldn't decide who actually caught the ball in the end zone on a Hail Mary or not. We had the Dolphins offensive line in the Bully Gate situation in 2013. Again, more concussion crises because there was a settlement paid out in 2013 to some NFL players. We had Antonio Brown and his dysfunction going that still goes on to this day. We have Le'Veon Bell, who sat out a whole season last year. So we have a whole lot of stories that happened in 2000 or in the 2010s, if you will. With this decade coming to an end, Cleveland, I thought it'd be a good time for you to tell us what you thought was the top stories in the NFL for the decade.
You know, I hate to put it this way. I hate for it to be this story, but I really think it was the Ray Rice situation, the way the league handled it, and how things have changed ever since then. A very close second has been the Colin Kaepernick movement, but I think that just from the way the NFL has had to backtrack on a horrible decision that they originally made, and just the impact of social media, and just the impact of what you see at versus what you hear, I think that was the biggest story of the decade.
The Ray Rice video impact, yeah. Again, I didn't even bring that up. That was pretty telling, actually. That was a good one. Thanks for reminding the fans of that. I had, you know, living here in L.A., I've been in L.A., came here in 1999, and was baffled that there was no football team here in Los Angeles for 17 years. Finally, we got the Rams here a few years ago, and then last year we got the Chargers here. So I believe having two teams here in the Los Angeles market is a big story for the NFL and one of the biggest of the decade. Cleveland, I didn't hear you talk about the Seattle Seahawks going to two Super Bowls back-to-back, winning in 2014, winning their Super Bowl 50. That's my second story of the decade for the Seattle Seahawks. Go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they did go against the Pittsburgh Steelers years ago. Sean Alexander had that MVP season that kind of came out of nowhere. For them to go back to the Super Bowl and go back to back, I mean, that was impressive. Congratulations to your Seahawks. But that has to be the second biggest story of the decade, no?
It's a big story for people here in the 206 because we were all so proud of what the Seahawks were able to accomplish. However, in the grand scheme of things, you know, there are other teams that won Super Bowls. The work's not over yet. And there were bigger stories in the decade. I'll just leave it there.
Well, I have the Seattle Seahawks as the second best story or the second top story in the decade. The franchise's first Super Bowl appearance, and then to come back and do it again. You know, it could have went back-to-back, but we're not going to rehash the worst play in the NFL history. This is just talking about in the decade top stories. And then, obviously, I agree with you. Colin Kaepernick, the protest, the whole situation after that is it has to be the number one story of the NFL in this decade. Just kind of the fallback out of that, what's transpired, the president getting involved in all that situation has to be our one of the top stories, or the top story, I guess, in the NFL this decade. So I will agree with you on that. You gave me Ray Rice and Kaepernick. Did you have a third story by chance?
I guess if you just had to have a third story, Cam, it would be the dominance of the Patriots making it to 5 of the 10 Super Bowls.
Oh, look at you guys. Look at you. You want to give them some love, huh?
For the decade? Oh, without question, they were the team of the decade. No one can argue with 5 Super Bowls, 3 victories.
And well, they came from a tough division, so that did give battle test them for everybody else in the playoffs. So I'm with you there.
They came from a tough conference. Their division, not tough at all. They won that every single year, actually.
Again, somebody has to win.
Every single year. My goodness. No other team in any other division did that. Every single year.
The division, they played the teams twice a year, right? So the division kind of toughens you up for the rest of the league. And we've seen what they were able to do once the division kind of.
Yeah, this isn't SEC football. This is professional NFL football. It don't do nothing, man. It give you a free ride to the playoffs. We can dominate inferior teams.
With that, big guy, let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about on this date in history, and then we're going to talk about some NBA stories impacting your Lakers. And, again, the top stories of the NBA we're going to hit you with. So, fans, stay tuned for us. Stay tuned with us. Thank you guys for tuning in once again, and we'll be right back with you. The people at What's Good in Sports want to talk to you, talk to the fans, and make sure you guys tune into the website. Cleavon, have you seen the What's Good in Sports website?
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Lots of positive stories and lots of great content.
The people they told me personally, make sure you guys go visit the website. So please, when you get a chance after the show, check out the whatsgoodinsports.com website. All right, the days and minutes and hours are winding down, Cleavon. Only a few more hours in the decade, big guy. I want to thank you for taking time to join us, join the fans, giving this podcast. Again, this is Voice of the Fans podcast, week 69. The year is almost up, folks. So we're going to start this all over again here momentarily. But, Cleavon, on this date in history, years ago, Dr. Miles B. Link, a physician, published the first black medical journal back in 1892. I think that was actually on the 30th of December, but I stuck it in here because we needed an extra topic. But December 30th, 1892, excuse me, Dr. Miles B. Link, a physician, published the first black medical journal. I'm sure you have that on your library. In your library, don't you, sir?
Somewhere. I think it's at my mom's house, actually.
Okay. A good place for it. In 1956, Kwanzaa was started. This here is the sixth day of Kwanzaa, meaning the creative piece of Kwanzaa, creative day. In 1972 on this day, Mr. Cleavon, Roberto Clemente, Pittsburgh Pirate, was killed in a plane crash somewhere near Puerto Rico as this plane was delivering relief supplies to Nicaraguan earthquake victims. So while doing a good deed, the plane went down and crashed, and that was into Roberto Clemente, historical baseball player, all-star, and the likes. In 1984 on this day, ESPN, debuted in Hawaii, making it available in all 50 states. It seems like a long time ago, but 1984 wasn't that long ago, that ESPN, the sports conglomerate as we know it now, just became available in Hawaii. Ruined a lot of people's vacations, I'm sure. You got caught up once or two watching ESPN while out there. Cleavon, let's turn to our focus on the NBA. And most recently, we've seen some tweets by someone's trainer, happened to be a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. And the tweets read something as if we know who was in the lab in the offseason and who was not. Kind of shining on light on what's going on with Mr. LeBron James. What's your thoughts on the tweet? And what's your thoughts on the Twitter's trainer, Mr. Kyle Kuzma?
You know, I don't pay attention to tweets that come out mid-season trying to, you know, kind of bring disharmony and dissemination to, you know, a team with championship aspirations. You know, that kind of stuff really should be in-house. So if there is a beef, I'm sure it got squashed. If it didn't get squashed, well, you know, Kyle Kuzma will go the way of Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. So up to him.
So we didn't get a chance to speak, or we did speak on Kyle Kuzma's performance on Christmas Day, actually. And Kuzma's been warmed up. He looked like he was ready. He warmed up, ready to go. And he was dragging the Lakers to competition on Christmas Day. However, some other players weren't as competitive. And now I guess we see where some of that was coming from. And you not wanting to acknowledge it is like not acknowledging that Kuzma's been the hottest player for the Lakers here recent nights, I should say. You just want to ignore that, huh?
You know, the way you're talking, Shane, you should be Kuzma's agent, man.
Well, I just think I'm a basketball fan, and I just kind of acknowledge.
Of course, I'm going to ignore those kind of blasphemous words.
Okay.
The team is not going to go as far as Kyle Kuzma can take him. I mean, I think we've established that quite some time ago. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure of that because they do need a third person to score.
Okay. Wow, that sounds very Clipper-like.
They do need a third person.
Yeah, we don't need the energy guy, okay? If all you're bringing is energy and enthusiasm to the team, now we need other things, okay?
Oh, he's putting up buckets. Oh, you're not acknowledging the buckets that he put up? He led the team in scoring last week. Notice that?
Congratulations. He was always supposed to have that type of potential and ability, so if we finally scratched the surface, that's a good thing.
Okay. All right.
Going forward.
As long as
we don't have any problems as to how this pecking order works, if there's some type of, like, mystery to it, then we'll solve that.
Okay, as long as you acknowledge it, man. I just want you to make sure you're getting everybody on your team some ample love, okay? Just as with the NFL, sir, let's talk about this decade in the NBA. We go back as the Heat protests, kind of Trayvon Martin situation back in 2012. Harden being traded to the Houston Rockets, James Harden, that is, being traded to the Houston Rockets that was monumental. I could not believe over a funky $4 million in NBA dollars. That's like Monopoly money. OKC did not want to pay James Harden and traded him to the Houston Rockets. I couldn't believe it. I saw that the night before the game, my jaw dropped. I could not believe it. And then obviously, again, once again, living down here in Southern California, although many people were aware of Donald Sterling and his antics and his ways, nothing had been done about it. It was swept on the rug till his side piece decided to record the phone call, and then ultimately led to his ouster as owner of the Clippers. I think that was a big story. And I don't know if you want to put the China issue in there, but I have a few more issues ahead of that. I'm not sure that kind of blew over pretty quickly. What would you say are some of the best stories of the decade in your mind?
Well, I think number two story would have to be the dominance of the athlete of the decade, the male athlete of the decade. Serena Williams is the female athlete of the decade. LeBron James is the male athlete of the decade. So his ability to go to the championship 8 straight years, the heartbreaking decision to leave his home to go to greener pastures, most notably the 305. You know, exercise some demons there, take that team to 4 straight championships. Then have it burning within his heart to go back and right some of his wrongs at home, and then go back to Cleveland and bring them their first championship in 50 years. That's where we'll be number two. Again, the number one story is the Donald Sterling thing. And just like in football, it just goes to show the power of social media and how significant it became in this decade. The decade before that, a flicker here and there, but it didn't really completely change the way that people went about doing things. Once social media hit, it's completely changed everything. And everyone in Los Angeles has known that Donald Sterling was the biggest racist around for years and years and years.
I wouldn't say it was social media. I'm not sure social media had much to do with that situation. Just like, as you mentioned, the Ray Rice situation, when you see it, it's when you see the impact versus hearing about the impact,
it's 100% social media, because it's people amongst each other sharing it, and then it goes viral. And then everybody's talking about it on all different kinds of platforms. It's not just on TV. It's not just on the radio. It's all over, everywhere, all the time, never, ever before.
I would say that wasn't, being down here and kind of aware of that situation. Yes, I was aware of who Donald Sterling was and how he kind of carried himself. However, it wasn't until you heard the tapes, actually heard him say, "You can," to his girlfriend, "you can go sleep with them. You can go out with them, do whatever you want to with them, but don't bring them to my games. Don't bring them to my home." That, when you heard it, it took on a much different tone, a much different connotation, understanding and knowing it and kind of being, walking the line and being the landlord-tenant situations. It was much different when you actually heard him being the racist, and it became, again, I wouldn't blame social media. That was just news. The Ray Rice, I think, kind of spread a little bit faster of the video, obviously. But when you heard it, it started burning like a wildfire. So I would take it there. Your love story with LeBron James. I have LeBron in here once, but your love story with him going down there and your cinematic video that you want to make with him going to Miami and having to learn how to be a winner. That doesn't make my list. Him coming back to Cleveland to win a ring, just so happens that there was some circumstances that assisted in that win with him over the 73 win Golden State Warriors, who actually is my number one story. So I guess I do have LeBron here twice, because the Warriors going 73-9, losing to those Cleveland Cavaliers, is the number one story I have in the NBA of the decade. LeBron beating those guys, you got to give him credit for beating those guys. But KD, leaving OKC to go to that 73-9 team, and winning back-to-back finals, I think that had to be my third story, top story, because, there's so much surrounding his exit out of OKC and a lot of things that people didn't know and they were guessing. And was it this? Was it that? Why did he do it? Why would you go to a team that you had beaten in the Western Conference Finals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, there's a lot that went into that decision, a lot that went into him leaving, a lot that went into joining that team, and then winning back-to-back finals MVPs was so impressive that those are my top three stories. Anything you want to add to the mix there? Where does Harden going to the Rockets? Where does that lag? Where does that rank amongst your top stories, or is it just all LeBron for you?
So that last part you said, I missed that.
I said, where do you have Harden ranking? Harden getting traded to the Rockets. Where do you have that ranking in your top stories, or was it just your love affair for LeBron that blinds your ability to see the NBA in an objective fashion?
Well, it definitely was a surprise. I mean, as we're talking, I would think that, you know, what Kawhi Leonard was able to do in Toronto was a bigger story than James Harden going to the Rockets at the time. I mean, he was a, you know, a third fiddle in OKC. They didn't feel like spending the, you know, the money to get it. So it was a surprise when it happened, breaking up the, you know, a version of what a big three could be, but I don't really think it was one of the top stories of the decade, no.
Well, the way you just put it right there, it was bigger than Kawhi going to Toronto because Harden won it.
Oh, definitely no. It has not resulted in a championship for either team, so it's not a bigger story. And this is the first championship outside of the United States, so that's a way bigger story.
Again, there's some circumstances that it led to Kawhi winning. He did win it. Yes, you got to give him credit for
what
that.
What is with him there? What is with you and these circumstances work, man?
You said, when you went out saying that was a bigger story.
He didn't win a championship. What are these circumstances? I mean, clearly, yeah. Clay Thompson got hurt. Kevin Durant got hurt. But you still have to get there and win it.
He won it. I'm not arguing that he didn't win it. That's not what I'm
saying. And this is your guy too. Wow, I'm kind of surprised. Okay.
I can be objective. I can be objective about the game.
Sometimes, I guess.
Issues.
I guess this you know, this relationship is, you know, kind of new, so you're kind of still filling each other out. I get it.
good one. No, come on now. KD got hurt. Clay Thompson got hurt. The Warriors weren't 100%. No, if that happened with
Embiid, you know, almost blocked a shot. Almost. All these things almost happened, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you come out with a ring, and then you have so much power in the league that you can tell other billionaires what to do, and they'll do it.
Yeah. And he tells them what to do. He tells the reporters what to do at night, too. Wait on me or else. Yeah, that is pretty interesting. I get where you're coming from. I just think that there were some incidents that kind of assisted that. With LeBron coming back to Cleveland, again, there was a suspension that kind of threw that team off a kilter and allowed him to win game four, or I think it was game five, and then they came back and won game six, and there was game seven for them to win. So I think there was just circumstances involved, and you can't just flat out say him coming back and winning, like there was nothing else, you know, no other circumstances that involved in the situation. You got to remember, I got to point these things out to you, because if not, you'll sway the fans. This is a Voice of the Fans show, and you kind of take the fans down a different route. And I just got to help the fans remember that there were mitigating circumstances that allowed these things to happen. But nonetheless, they did win. That is my second story. LeBron beats that 73-9 team in the finals. He did do that. He did do that. I give him credit for that, to win for Cleveland's first and only title. I give him credit for that. I thought KD leaving OKC and going to the 73-9 Warriors and winning back-to-back finals, like there was no circumstances involved with that. He did that. He came in the game and busted ass for 2 years in a row. Brought a dark cloud to the NBA, because it was like, KD, how could you go to this already well-built team? And they should have won. They did win, and he won the finals. Like, he was clearly the best player on the court for 2 years, for what, 600 days straight. So you got to give him credit for that. Cleveland, Gervonta Davis and Gamboa, did you see the fight at all?
I did not see the fight. I heard Tank was giving it to him, though. Tell me about it.
Tank was giving it to him. Tank is another draw in the world of boxing. However, he has a problem making weight. He needs to push away from the tables. Again, he had to cut weight. They had to give him time so he can cut weight and come back on the scale. But the boxing fans came out to Atlanta between Christmas and New Year's to show themselves, and Tank is a draw in boxing, no doubt. We have a couple of boxing matches coming up. February will be Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. So get your ticket for that. Start preparing, because in Vegas it was going to be a barn burner out there. Cleavon, talking about the top stories of the decade, the launch of What's Good in Sports has been probably one of the biggest stories in my life this decade. We launched this in 2017, fans, so check it out if you haven't checked it out yet. What's Good in Sports always have fresh content for you, NBA, NFL, boxing, soccer, MLS. We got a lot of content for you. We'll have WNBA when that season starts for you as well. What's Good in Sports on Twitter. What's Good in Sport on Twitter. That just launched a couple years ago. Again, always fresh content for you. Voice of the Fans on Instagram. Once again, always fresh content for you, fans. Make sure you guys check that out. And the launch and relaunch of Voice of the Fans podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Cleavon, thank you for being part of this. These are the top stories of the decade. Surely you can't argue that, can you?
Cam, I can't disagree with that. It's been a pleasure to do every episode. I mean, every episode we get better. I definitely feel that I'm having an opportunity to, kind of educate the fans on a very cool, precise, distinct perspective. And it's always good to have you to kind of bounce ideas off and kind of show, kind of where I'm coming from. You know what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying, Cam? Like Sugar Ray Leonard needed, the Roberto Duran to kind of show what he could do. Floyd Mayweather needed Arturo Gatti. He didn't really know how fast his hands really were until he had an opponent where he really show his entire repertoire. You know what I'm saying?
This guy is something else. This guy is something else.
He needed Fresno State to kind of show that he could do everything on the field. So I appreciate you being here and giving me the opportunity.
This guy is
something else. To kind of show what I can do and educate the fans at the same time. So, man. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, no doubt.
And this is how we close the year out, the decade out, with Cleavon breaking his arms, trying to pat himself on the back. I don't even know if his arms are that long enough to pat himself on the back. But, folks, it's been tremendous. Cleavon, I sincerely want to thank you, man, for being a part of this. The growth of What's Good in Sports, the growth of Voice of the Fans podcast, and I can attribute some of this to you, sir. Thank you for being part of it. Fans, it's time that you guys start donating to the show. Your donations will be immediately repurposed for the betterment of the show. I need a new microphone. I need a new laptop. Daddy needs new shoes. Thank you guys for your participation. We appreciate anything you guys can donate to us. There's donate on the app that you're listening to, on the way you're listening to us. Also, we want you guys to be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. It means a lot to us when you guys give your comments. Thank you guys for your comments. Thank you for your time. Thank you for tuning in. And most sincerely, thank you guys for making our voice your choice. Happy New Year, sir. Talk to you soon.
Happy New Year, bro. Okay.
What's up, y'all? It's Eddie Entertainment. Now that's What's Good in Sports.